tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. That you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I want
when all Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I hope this day finds all of you doing well, staying healthy and safe. I'm sorry we had to cancel the Hope Show last week due to the very frigid weather that we've been having in our location. The temperatures remained around 0 to 10 degrees for almost 2 weeks, with wind chills getting down as cold as sometimes negative 25 degrees during the nighttime. And the area in which Aziz and I have the computer equipment to broadcast was too cold for us to work out of last week, and so I apologize for that, but we are back today. It's a brand new day, friends, and the outside temperatures are rising. Praise God. Today's message is going to be about loving thy neighbor. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for the opportunity for all of us to get together and to honor and praise you and to worship you. And we want to thank you for this time of fellowship and for your word, Lord, and for us the opportunity to delve into your word and study your word, and for you to speak to us through the Holy Spirit so that we might understand your word. And thank you for this remarkable day that you have made. Thank you for all of those who have tuned in. And Lord, thank you for waking each of us up today to have another day to be about your kingdom work, helping one another and carrying one another's burdens. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words I speak come only from you and not of my own understanding. And in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in a moment of prayer. So let's get started today. As I said before, the prayer, today's message title is Love Thy Neighbor. There is much to be said about this in the Bible. In fact, it is the second of the Ten Commandments. So loving your neighbor is very important in the eyes of God. Our key verse for the day is found in Matthew 22:34-40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Friends, the first four of the Ten Commandments have to do with how we are to love God, while the last six have to do with how we are to love one another. And the point that Jesus was trying to make in the key verse was that everything hinges on the first two commandments. We can't even think about loving our neighbor until we first get the love of the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind part down. It's a part of our sinful nature to be selfish, self-seeking, and to center our lives around ourselves and our own ambitions. This is the way of the world that we live in. Thus is to say, this is how the world operates these days. It's an all-about-me society. Every man for themselves. But let us remember this in 1 John 4:19. The Bible tells us, we love because he first loved us. Jesus teaches that our relationship with our fellow men, women, and children is inseparable from our relationship with God. God has called us to love him, ourselves, and our neighbor. They are of the same calling. In John 13:34-35, The Bible tells us, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Some of you might be thinking, how far does this commandment to love our neighbor extend? We commonly think of our neighbors as the people who live near us, but Jesus meant for it to include all mankind, even our enemies. In Luke 10:25-37, Jesus tells a parable of a good Samaritan. He paints an illustration of a Jew going on a trip, and along the way he is attacked by bandits. The bandits strip the man of his clothes and money, beating him up until he is laying there on the ground, half dead. Two people came along. One man completely ignored him, laying there on the ground, and even walking to the other side of the road. The second man walked over to where the beaten man was laying, looked at him there, and then went on. But the good Samaritan stopped and kneeled down by the man and soothed and bandaged his wounds. He then put the beaten and unclothed man onto his donkey, staying by his side until they came across an inn, where the good Samaritan nursed the beaten man through the night. The next morning, the good Samaritan gave the innkeeper some money and told the innkeeper to take good care of the beaten man, and if the innkeeper needed more money to see the man completely healed and back on his feet, then the good Samaritan would surely give him more. Friends, the Jews and the Samaritans back in those days had been enemies for hundreds of years. The Jews had always thought the Samaritans were unclean, outcasts. And yet, in this parable that Jesus shared, out of the three men, who do you think was the better neighbor to the beaten man? The Samaritan took pity on the poor man who had been beaten and robbed. He invested time and money to help this man get the care he needed. This Jewish man was not only a stranger to the Good Samaritan, but also supposed an enemy to the Samaritan people. In this parable, Jesus challenges us all to go out and to do the same thing. Loving your neighbor applies to everyone, not just a few of us, but everyone. In Matthew 25:40, the Bible tells us, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" This verse literally applies to any and all circumstances in our lives. Let me break this verse down to you line by line. First, the verse says, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you.'" And this means that the king will have a judgment day when he will be opening the book of life. The sheep, or the believers, will have their names written there, but the goats, or the non-believers, will not. It is belief versus non-belief. True believers will live their lives in Christ and unto him. Now for the second part of the verse, "whatever you did," means Jesus said of the sheep, the believers, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." The goats, or the non-believers, failed to do the same. And upon Judgment Day, folks, when we get there and the believers have their names written in the book of life, but then those who have not followed God's example for Christian living. It's going to be, you know, on that judgment day that the non-believers say, well, the Lord will say, you know, where were you? You know, when I needed your help. And, you know, the non-believers are going to be, well, where were you? You know, I didn't see you. And the Lord's going to be like, that's the point, you know. And they will be cast away and put into the fires of hell. And so the third line of the verse says, for one of the least of these. And this, friends, means that there are a few who will not help what society deems as, that there are a few who will help what society deems as an important people, if given the chance to do so. But the humble will reach down with their hands to help those who cannot return their favor. God knows everything about us. He knows our heart, our mind, and our soul. He knows what we will do before we even do it. We cannot hide anything from God. He knows all. He sees all. He hears all. And it's very, very important to Him that we not only love Him, but our fellow brothers and sisters as well. And the fourth line of that verse says, brothers and sisters of mine. And this means that we are taught that God sends the sun as well as the rain, upon the good as well as upon the wicked, but that we should follow Jesus' example, being a blessing to everyone who we cross paths with. The fifth line of this verse says, you did to me. And this means to love God and to serve Him requires loving and serving His people, especially the least of these. Friends, to really serve God, we can't pick and choose who we choose to help when we see a need. We can't think, well, he or she is my friend, so I'm going to make any and every effort that I possibly can to see that their needs are met. While a complete stranger you see struggling with their purchases to get them to their car or inside their home, you notice them, but you think, eh, not today. They'll be all right. They can handle this. An elderly person may need someone to run a few errands for them. Or perhaps someone is stranded on the side of the road with a flat tire. Or maybe you see someone hitchhiking. You know, and I have to say that with this one, you really need to be careful in these times we live in. But let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Perhaps someone doesn't have a car, but they have a doctor's appointment that they must get to. Or perhaps someone loses electricity in the middle of the winter and they're freezing in their home. What would you do? What would you do? Would you only help your friends? Or would you be asking God in your daily prayers to send you someone, to give you the opportunity to help someone, anyone, in need, and asking God for discernment to spot these people who are in need? Friends, Shaziz and I have helped many people throughout the years in our life, even asking them into our homes while they get back on their feet. Some have been friends. Some have been complete strangers that we've never even met before. And some of you may be thinking, well, that's a pretty risky thing to do. And yes, it can be. But if God tells you to do something, you don't question it. You obey and you do it. God has always watched over us and protected us and our family when He has asked us to take in a complete stranger. Friends, God has given each of us gifts and talents to use toward the kingdom of God. I am in no way suggesting that everyone go out there and find a stranger and bring them into your home and help them out until they can get back on their feet again. Some are commanded to do this, and some are not. Everyone is called to serve the Lord in many different ways. We are all a part of the whole body of believers. Not one of us can do anything on our own without God. Maybe some of you have connections with other people that can help someone out better than you can. Just point them in the right direction. Maybe some of you are good mechanics or cooks, so fix their vehicle or bake them something nice. Maybe fix them a meal. Maybe you're going to town and someone else needs a ride to the same town that you're going. Give them a lift, friends. How much would it honestly inconvenience you to help someone out? We are all called to do these things because God first loved us, and we are all God's children. We can't claim to love God and claim to be living a life a Christ-like life if we aren't willing to love and help our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Loving your neighbor also extends into the workplace. Literally, everywhere you go and everything that you are part of, every walk of life, every person you encounter is your neighbor. Even someone that you may not particularly get along with. Perhaps you have a personality clash with that person, or maybe that person has wronged you. Friends, no matter what the situation is, you are still called to love those people and to help those people. God puts us in other people's paths for a reason. Perhaps you are that prayer. Perhaps you're an answered prayer to someone. You may never know. And you know, friends, people are watching us all the time, even if we are unaware of it. If you do something dishonest, unkind, swear, take God's name in vain, gossip, frequent places that are not of God, people are going to notice. And when this happens, we have just lost our testimony with those folks. We have lost our chance to witness to someone because now we are seen as hypocrites and no one is interested in listening. We may have been able to bring someone to the Lord, but because we did something or were somewhere that was not of God, that we were participating in something that was not of God, suddenly we are a hypocrite in the eyes of that person that we could have witnessed to. We could have made a big difference in that person's lives. It paints a bad picture, folks, upon the body of believers. We have to be about God's business, and we have to be living by His commandments lest that we should cause someone else to stumble. In Matthew 18:7, the Bible tells us, "Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling blocks come." Friends, this marks the halfway point of our message today, and so I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. I hope that you guys will all stay tuned in and enjoy the worship music, And just, you know, please stay tuned in to hear the rest of God's Word for us today.
It don't have a job, don't pay your bills, won't buy you a home in Beverly Hills. Won't fix your life in 5 easy steps. Ain't the love of the land or the God.
life be the proof.
The proof of you.
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. I'm happy you stayed tuned in. For those of you who are just tuning in, today's message, the message title is Love Thy Neighbor. If you have missed the first half, I strongly encourage you to go back to the podcast page later in the day when the podcast has been uploaded and listen to the first half. God has given us a wonderful message today, and you don't want to miss out on any of it. So, I'm going to jump right back in and continue where we left off at. Before the break, excuse me, hold on just a second. I gotta get a drink of water, I'm sorry. Just hold on for a moment. Anyway, before the break, we were talking about you know, loving our neighbor and things like that. And it's so, so important to do that. You know, because God first loved us. You know, we are supposed to be an example of what Christ's life is like. Friends, I'm having some complications here. Just a second. I will be right back online, okay? I'm going to throw in a song real quick. Friends, I apologize for that. Wow, that is not the song that I meant to play at all. Anyway, I think I've recovered from the glitch, so let's get started again, okay? I'm going to go back and jump right back in again, and hopefully we'll have a better situation, better come out. God has given us a wonderful message today. And so, if you're just tuning in today, you do not want to miss out. Alright? And so, before the break, we were talking about the importance of being a good example to other people. Because people watch one another throughout the day. People notice how we talk. You know, the places that we frequent. How you behave when times are good and times are not so good. How you respond to people or circumstances that upset you. We must always be aware of our actions and deeds and be in prayer that God would guard up our minds all day long, every day, so that when temptations come along, we respond appropriately to the Word of God. We do not want to be the cause for someone else stumbling. God is very clear about this in the Bible. Even before I had a relationship with God, I always tried to live by the golden rule to treat one another the way that I would want to be treated. And so this means that, you know, if you don't want someone giving false information out to the neighbors, you know, about you, then don't gossip to other people about other people, you know. If you don't want someone to make fun of you, then don't make fun of someone else. You know, if you don't want people to be mean to you, then be a decent person and don't be mean to others. It's one of the most basic things that we learn as small children growing up, to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. The Bible is our instruction manual for living. We can find all the answers to our questions within its pages. Friends, God wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him and love Him first and most of all. This is our first commandment. But second, and equally as important, is the fact that God wants us to love ourselves and our neighbors as well. If we're not able to love ourselves as well, then how are we going to love our neighbors? God wants our lives to overflow with mercy, grace, love, and compassion. And He wants these things to flow out of us and over all the people that we encounter. In these times that we are currently living here on earth, this is especially so very important right now. We all need one another to get through the troubling times ahead. We need to know that we can count on one another to have our backs when our back is against the wall. We need to not only be doing kind things for one another, but we need to be praying for one another. In 1 John 4:20 and 21, the Bible says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, he cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." Romans 13:10 says that love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. In John 15:13, the Bible says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And in Romans 15:2, the Bible tells us, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build them up." Friends, we can truly see God's infinite grace and mercy in our own lives. Look at how many times God forgives us and has forgiven us when we've done something wrong. Friends, grace and mercy are keys to salvation. With the commandment that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, Christ has made it impossible for us to fail because we are generally good at taking care of ourselves along with God's help. And God wants what's best for us. We want what's best for us. And so this is the benchmark of how we should love others. Christ has already showed us how to truly love our neighbor because he first loved us. It's not hard to be a decent person and to do the right thing. God has given us all the tools, gifts, and talents that we need to accomplish His commandments. We just need to listen and obey. And here are some things I want to share with you on things that you can do to be a good neighbor. Be generous. There are many things that we can give away, and most are free. Such things as our time, our talent, kindness, compassion, joy, and prayers. Those are all free, and they are not meant to be hoarded. We are supposed to be continuously sharing these things. And be ethical. It is said in the Bible that if a man gains the world but loses his soul, what has he gained? Some people lie, cheat, beg, borrow, or steal. And this is not the way to get to heaven. It requires a willingness to sacrifice personal material gain when the other type of success crosses the line of morals and human dignity. Set your standards to God's standards and stay true to them. Be fair. We are not supposed to show partiality to a poor man just because of his situation. The same rules apply to the rich man as well. And be kind. Sometimes the most difficult thing to do is smile. We are surrounded by a world of hate, bitterness, jealousy, envy, and violence. This world is God's playground. But you know what, folks? We have hope because this is not our home. We are only passing through on our way to spending eternity in heaven with the Lord. The kindness that transfers from one to another has a tremendous influence on all those around us. Kindness and compassion are two of the most powerful weapons to defeat the enemy. Use them daily. And you know, another thing, be at peace. Be peaceful. We've all held grudges and anger inside of us at one time or another. We've all harbored negative thoughts and been a part of ongoing conflict. But God commands us to not be this way, to put all of this aside. Forgive and be forgiven. Let whatever is bothering you go. Be in prayer daily for these things. Friends, your life is not always going to be easy. Your life will always have trials and troubles, valleys and mountains. But your soul can still have peace. Your inner self doesn't have to be in turmoil because of the outward things that are happening to you that you can't control. And there, by staying peaceful within yourself, you can bring peace to others and be soothing to their soul. And so, friends, this wraps up our message for today. Please bow your heads with me in closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts we have received from your goodness. May you judge us in love and mercy when we fail to recognize you in the least of these, in all of your beloved children, in whom we encounter in our daily lives. Help us to continuously be in prayer for one another, carrying one another's burdens, asking you for opportunities to be sent to us each day to help one of your children. And we ask you for the discernment to recognize these opportunities and to obey your commands and meet those needs of our fellow brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, and in all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that closing prayer. Until we meet again next Saturday, same time, same place, God bless each and every one of you. And I just have to share this little tidbit of information because Shizzes and I are pretty proud of this upcoming event. By this time next week, our daughter Kara will have blessed myself and Shaziz with another beautiful granddaughter. This will be our 7th grandchild from our children, our first from Kara. But babies are such a gift and such a blessing. And so all you parents and grandparents out there, be sure you love up on your children and grandchildren this week and have a good week. Have a blessed week.
As she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't
your head. can have.